Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Before you sit down, I just wanted to share a scripture which has been stirring in my heart and really undergirds what I will be speaking on today, my heart for today. And it's the words of Pastor Paul to the church of Ephesus. And it says this: I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. As we lead into Easter, as we look at these preaching theme on why Jesus, how cool would it be if within 4 weeks' time you knew Jesus more? That this scripture says that we can grow in wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is actually dealing with our mind, that we can understand things with our intellect about Christ more. But you know what? That's not enough. Revelation is something that happens deep within your spirit and your soul, that you will have an encounter with God, that you experience Jesus in a way that brings conviction, that brings faith, that brings transformation of your soul. And that is my heart as I preach today and as we look at why Jesus. So can you join with me as I pray, because the beautiful Holy Spirit can lead us into knowing Christ better. Why don't you just maybe raise your hands in a posture of coming before God. Lord, we thank you that your word is rich and it is transforming. And I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit today to bring wisdom, but not just wisdom where our mind understands, but deep heart revelation that brings transformation, that we might know Jesus more. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Well, please grab a seat. So we're looking at this question, why Jesus? And we are posing a question, and over these five different services, we will be providing an answer to the question. Five different answers, which when they come together will provide a kind of a complete picture, a little bit like a jigsaw coming together. And last week, Pastor Al presented the first answer to why Jesus. And he said, why Jesus? And I love it. And it's the most profound reason, because we need a Saviour. Because we need a Saviour. There's some people here that need to know today that Jesus came to save your life. And if you have been saved for years, let me encourage you over this Easter time just to consider afresh what that salvation meant for you. You know, I got saved when I was 14. I was a pretty lost child, wasn't raised in a Christian home. But I went to Christian camps because I wanted to meet boys, basically, have some fun. And I mission successful. I didn't meet my husband there, so that was good. But I went to these camps, and my main memory is that I used to have an incredible fear of dying as a child. I would go to bed at night and I would be very fearful. And at this Christian camp on the banks of the Port Hacking down in Cronulla, I was standing on the deck of my cabin talking to my cabin leader, and she shared the good news of Jesus Christ. She shared that if you accept Jesus into your life, that you will have eternal life. And I said, I want that. I want that. And there and then, on that deck, I asked Jesus into my life. And immediately, the fear of dying left me. The fear of what would life look like after my life had finished, totally left. And I want to say today that you might be sitting here and you haven't met Jesus. Well, you can have an opportunity at the end of the service today to do that. And that is the best thing that you can ever do. Well, today's message, why Jesus, is this. Because he is one of us, he is the Son of Man. And throughout this preaching series, we are looking at the Gospel of Mark and some stories in the book of Mark. So you ready, church, to dive into our story today? I absolutely love this story. It's so descriptive. I want you to try and picture what this story looks like as I read it. So we're reading from Mark 2. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And don't we love this? He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Wow, what a story. Wow. Don't you love the faith of the four friends? And before we unpack this story, I just want to highlight that in verse 10, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man. One of the big truths about Jesus that we can actually grow in wisdom and revelation is that Jesus is both the Son of Man and the Son of God. That he is both fully God and fully man. Interestingly, in the four gospel books of the Bible, Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man 81 times, whereas the Son of God only 23 times. These two different titles actually capture the dual nature and roles of Jesus. So let me unpack this a little bit more. The Son of God captures Jesus' divinity and his relationship to God the Father. The Son of Man, his humanity and his relationship to people. Son of God expresses that Jesus is holy and righteous, that he is king seated on a heavenly throne, and that he will rule and reign forever. The Son of Man depicts Jesus who came to earth, that he walked through the challenges of life, yet he did not sin, and that he sacrificed his life to save ours. You know, the mind-blowing thing about the difference between Christianity and other world faiths is that in Christianity, God became man. Sorry about that. I've had a bit of a cold. Whereas in other world religions, man becomes God. But for Christianity, our faith, we have the beautiful thing of God becoming man. Now, because Jesus is the Son of Man, I want to talk about two profound revelations today, and I'd love you to lean in and really catch these today, that they're not just something that you know with your head, but that you really catch with your heart today. And the first one is this, is that Jesus sees, knows, and gets us. He sees you, he knows you, and he gets you. And why? Because Jesus had first-hand experience of what we go through. He understands and empathizes with our humanity. You know, I truly believe that a deep cry of our human hearts is to be known and to be understood. I remember as a teenager, I was, even though I met the Lord at 14, I went through the highs and lows of insecurities as a teenager, and I started to write poems, and they were fairly deep and personal and heartfelt. And I remember about 17, I wrote a poem about that no one gets me. And I do think that no matter what our age, that just to be reminded today that God gets you. Even if your parents don't get you, young guys, youth over here, you might think your friends don't get you, you might think your parents don't get you, but the truth is Jesus gets you. He sees you, he knows you, and he gets you. You know, sometimes revelation can just be a very simple truth. And I'm not exposing any deep revelation today, but if you can go home with a sense of, wow, Jesus gets me, I'll be really happy as a preacher today. Jesus, Son of Man. But before he was a man, he was a baby. He was a child, a teenager, a young adult. He was son to Mary and Joseph, a brother to his siblings, a carpenter, a friend, a leader. Jesus got tired, hungry, and thirsty. He contended with storms and perilous situations. He experienced temptation, trials, and torment. He too had to grow in understanding and wisdom. He was often moved by compassion and at times anger and injustice. He was misunderstood and opposed, shamed, rejected, and brutally treated. And he was a man with a deep sense of purpose and mission. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 139, and this psalm really captures how much Jesus gets us. And he gets us not just because he's the Son of Man, that he came and lived as a person, but also that he is the Son of God and that he created you and me, and so he knows us intimately. And this psalm reads, I'm just going to read a few verses. Perhaps you might want to just close your eyes and really capture how much Jesus really gets you. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. For you created my innermost being. That's your soul, your spirit, your heart. He created it, guys. He created your personality. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I just wonder who needs to hear this today, that Jesus knows your comings and goings, your thoughts and your feelings, your highs and lows, your strengths and weaknesses, your passions and pain, your dreams and desires, your failings and ambitions, your sin and your sicknesses, your courage and resilience, your faith and fear, your temptations and sin, challenges and opportunity, your past, present and future. Church, he knows it. And because Jesus gets us, he's also got us. And I'm wondering, when was the last time you had just a consideration of whatever you are walking through at the moment, that Jesus knows and he's got you? Because I know in my own life, sometimes I just power on. And then I think, oh wow, I haven't brought Jesus into this situation. I haven't considered, wow, he understands what's going on the inside of me. Let me share a story about the month of February. I actually had a month off. I had some long service leave, and my husband and I bought a camper van just towards the end of last year. So I ran away for a month by myself in my van. I went for 2 weeks to Patonga and 2 weeks to Canton Beach, which is in Tukli, and I rested, which is a good thing. And Patonga has a very different feel to Canton Beach at Tukleek. And when I arrived at Canton Beach, I could feel the different atmosphere of that geographical area. And I think I'd been there two nights and Pat had actually driven my van up there and came back to work. And so I think it was the first night I was on my own in Tukleek. And I got woken up at 2 a.m. in the morning, really suddenly, with the sound of knocking. And my sense was that someone was walking through the caravan park, knocking on caravans. I don't know if it was doors, but I just heard knock, knock, knock. It was quite loud. And then a knock, knock, knock. And immediately fear struck me. Now, by nature, I'm not that fearful. But can I just say, in that moment at 2 a.m. in the morning, I was petrified. I was on my own and I went, oh my goodness, there's probably a drug addict out there coming to do havoc in the caravan park. And I felt incredibly vulnerable and fearful. And that morning I was just like going, can I stay here? And I felt a bit robbed, to be quite honest. I felt like the enemy was coming to try and steal my rest time. And I sat there and I read my Bible. And God is so good because Jesus got me that night. He got that I was needed comfort. He got that I needed someone for him to come and put courage back in my heart and to provide an answer. And I read a psalm and the psalm said this, "For those of you who put God as your refuge, I will protect you in your tent." I went, there's my promise. Now my van is sort of half tent because it's a pop-out thing. And I went, thank you, Lord. And then I continued to read and it said, I will place angels at your guard. And so I got out and I stood under my awning and I said, Lord, I want an angel there and I want an angel there. And right now I choose to not be afraid because you will be my protector. Amen. A simple story that just says God got me. He knew what was troubling in my heart and he brought me through it. So back to our story. Are we ready to go back to our story? In our story, we see four main people or groups of people. And Jesus had the knack of being in a situation and reading the room. He could read the hearts of people. He could see what was happening in the people's lives. And so the first people he got was the crowd. Now the crowd is actually you and I. The crowd depicts ordinary, everyday people. And the crowd was fascinated with Jesus, amazed about all he was saying and doing. The crowd followed Jesus wherever he went. They came in large numbers, they pushed in, and they were kind of demanding something of Jesus because they had great need. They were either sick or demonized, and Jesus was able to perform a miracle for them. Jesus got the crowd. And today I just want to say, we're part of that crowd. We are. And in Matthew 9, Jesus describes the crowd. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I love that he had compassion. That's the first thing that Jesus has towards us is compassion. The Son of Man has compassion for you. He also used the analogy that the crowd were like a flock of sheep without a shepherd. And he felt a great calling to become that shepherd to the crowd. And that's why he taught them and why he provided their needs. But I find it fascinating, these words. The crowd were harassed and helpless. And Joel, I just want to commend you for so beautifully sharing your story today. And I think all of us can relate at some level of feeling harassed and helpless at different times of our life. Can anyone else relate? I can relate. Thank you for your honesty today. Harassed and helpless. Jesus saw that people were agitated, anxious, troubled, weary, daily pressures of life, tired of the oppression of Rome, challenged by relationships, tempted by things of the world, and imprisoned to things like sin and sickness. And even though Jesus spoke these words 2,000 years ago, I think they're timeless descriptors of you and I and humanity. Harassed and helpless. And Jesus said about the crowd, "This is why I have come." Now let's go back to this picture, the four friends. I've got to love the four friends. You've got to love having good friends that love you. These four friends loved their friend. And they wanted the friend to see Jesus to bring a miracle into his life. They were in a house and the house was so crowded that they could not get the friend into the house. And so I love their initiative. Who loves audacious faith, audacious action? And instead of trying to push their way through, they took him up. I don't know how you get a paralyzed man up onto the roof, but they took him up onto the roof, pulled the tiles away. Can you just imagine this picture? Like Jesus is speaking and you'd start to see the crumbles coming down. Like you'd hear the crash and the bang. And then you'd start with a little hole, but you'd need a pretty darn big hole to fit a whole man down. They kept moving it away and lowered the paralyzed man down. How awesome is that? And Jesus saw and got the four friends. What did he get? He saw their love and he saw their faith. The third thing or person that Jesus saw would have been the paralyzed man. And we've got no name. We don't even know how he became paralyzed or for how long. But in other stories of the Bible, we see that Jesus, when he saw great need, had great compassion. It says in the Bible, Jesus was moved with compassion. This word moved means moved in the very depths of your bowel. He felt such a sense of this man is so helpless. Maybe he was in pain. He definitely would have gone through shame. He would have felt helpless because he probably couldn't even wipe his own butt and possibly not even feed himself. Many years ago, I heard Pastor Phil Pringle speak on compassion and he said these words, "Jesus never sat in compassion. He always used compassion as a springboard for faith and action. Often that action was to lay hands on someone and pray or declare and release a miracle." And so that's what happened. Jesus released a beautiful miracle in this man's life. Now back to the room. So we've got the crowd of people, and amongst the crowd, we've got some seats. Boom, boom, boom. And on the seats are the religious people, the teachers of the law. And I can imagine that they're sitting there with their white tunics on, their cloaks, looking quite grand and pompous and a bit pious. They're sitting there looking on, watching on. And how do you love that the roof started to crumble in on them? And I can imagine them dusting off the... Oh dear, we've got dust coming out of the roof, coming in. I'm sure there were rats up in there too, and who knows? But I don't think they would have been happy. And Jesus could read the hearts of the teachers of the law. And interestingly, Jesus just doesn't see the good things in us. He sees the things that might need to be corrected. He saw that they were not curious like the crowd. Rather, they were critical and cynical. And they wanted to oppose Jesus in all he was doing. And Jesus was pretty cut and dry when he described them. He says this in Matthew 23. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. Now, would you agree Jesus didn't mince his words there? Pretty forthright. Jesus did not like the teachers of the law. He could see, even though they looked all prim and proper, that on the inside there was death and decay, there was wickedness, and that there was no sense of mercy or kindness in their hearts. So my first revelation that I want you to capture today, church, is that Jesus gets you. He gets you. And because he gets you, he's got you. If you allow him to come into your heart and into that thing that you're walking through, because he wants to bring. I believe today, I'm believing that for some of you today, there's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be a miracle in your heart because Jesus gets you and he's got you. My second profound revelation from this story is this. Jesus' authority can radically change our lives. Jesus' authority can radically change your life. Once again, good news. Earlier in Mark, we read this, Mark 1:27. Amazement gripped the audience or the crowd and they began to discuss what happened. What sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. It has such authority. Even evil spirits obey his orders. And this verse highlights two areas of Jesus' authority. The first, he had authority to teach. And let's never underestimate the power of the taught word, because it will bring revelation. It will clear away deception. It will bring convictions in our heart. It will establish faith in our spirit. It will transform our lives. And so Jesus had authority to teach. But he also had authority to cast out evil spirits. And it's important that you and I today, that we are not ignorant of the fact that evil spirits and strongholds can impact our lives. These demonic spirits come under the authority of Satan, and the Bible says their intent is to steal, kill, and destroy. And these evil spirits can gain access to our soul through unresolved emotions, unrepented sin, trauma, and certain lifestyle choices. You know, there's a scripture in Ephesians that says, in your anger, do not sin. Anger, an emotion. Who's felt anger before? I think most of us. Frustration can be anger. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Simple things of life, simple emotions, if not resolved, can allow the enemy to get into our life, and that thing can actually become a stronghold in our world. Let me just share a story. About 12 years ago, I had a stronghold in my life of sorrow. Went through some stuff in life, which I don't need to bring before you today, but just know that stuff in life happens and can bring sorrow. And I just continued to go through life, but there was a heaviness in my heart that even I was not aware of the impact of the sorrow that had captured my heart. And in one ministry moment, someone prayed for me and literally pulled out a spirit of grief out of my soul. They reached in prayer and said, in the name of Jesus, I cast out grief and I put in life. And it came out quite strong. I felt it come out. And that is not a God spirit. That is a spirit. And it wasn't even what I would call just an emotion. There was a spirit attached to it that had suppressed me. And in a moment, I got released. I got set